Thank you. Welcome, Mpho, to Lishe. And of course, Mpho, you are an integrative dietitian, an author, and a Pilates instructor. And today we're obviously talking about all things when it comes to being an integrative dietitian. Now talk us through, tell us a bit, what is, when people say indigenous food, what do they mean by that?
It's actually very confusing that I was speaking to a friend during the week to say, how do we know if it's indigenous?
Yes.
You know, with everything else that the history of food was not documented.
Mm-hmm.
And he says he doesn't actually like the word, and we settled on naturalized.
Wow, yes.
Yes, because even if we always say that corn comes from South America, but the corn that they're eating there versus what we eat here is not the same.
Yeah.
Ours has adapted to the climate and the soil. So it is naturalized.
Wow.
Yes.
Now, what has been some of the contribution to of indigenous food to nutrition, the nutritional status and sort of the nutrient intake? Last month on Lisha, we did a specialized sort of interview talking about the history of nutrition in the continent and, you know, how it's been affected by drought and season and obviously colonizations and things like that.
If you're looking at something that is indigenous or naturalized, because it has climatized to the area, it's easy to grow.
Yes.
Take an example of indigenous morocco, the amaranth, the pigweed, all the different types that we have, more than 60 different types in the country that we know of.
Yes.
They're easier to grow than spinach. It doesn't need a lot of water.
Oh, wow.
It doesn't need fertilizers.
Yes.
You know, it's all over. I see it on my garden. I see it as I run in the mornings.
Wow.
So it's much more, it contributes better to food security.
Yes.
Than something that you have to force to grow with a lot of water and a lot of pesticides.
That's amazing.
That in actually down the road, it then destroys the water amounts that we have, and also destroys the soil.
Yes.
So I think using indigenous foods will help if we can actually take care of them and make sure that there's more to feed the people.
Yeah.
It will be a better contribution to solve hunger.
Yes.
Than forcing, I mean, maize takes quite a lot of water to grow.
Mm.
Look at sorghum and millet and teff and fonio, which
yes.
are four indigenous African grains.
Mm-hmm.
They grow easily in the middle of drought,
yes.
in the middle of deserts,
yes.
because they can cope with the climate, whether it's drought or whether even if there's no water,
mm-hmm.
it will grow.
Is that the idea behind... I mean, the nature is that as African people, we've always been very connected to our ecosystem.
Yes.
And it was probably easier back then to sustain a family
mm-hmm.
with indigenous food because that's what we connected to. We wouldn't, what was presented to us is how we fed ourselves and families.
Yes, it's what some people call co-evolution.
Yes.
That you adapt to nature.
Wow.
And you don't force it.
Exactly. Is there a wide popularity of indigenous food intake in South Africa? And do you think there is enough or effective education and awareness about indigenous foods?
I think in the rural areas, yes, there is, but people don't appreciate it because it's not seen in TV, it's not in magazines. So when you live in the rural areas and all you have is sorghum and the wild fruits, and you have the different types of melon, like in winter, and the fruits, you don't appreciate the value of the foods. All you want is to get out of the rural areas and go to the city and eat takeaways.
Mm.
And even when the other thing is that even if you come to the city and you still love the food, you don't see it everywhere anywhere. You don't see it in the restaurants, you don't see it in the newspapers, you don't see it in the malls, and it makes you crave that kind of food, but you don't put it on the same pedestal that you would with Italian food. You don't
Goodness, yes.
Yeah. You don't put it in like Chinese foods, because the truth is our culture is a lot of the information that we have is not documented, but we also have the we keep, so our form of preserving culture is storytelling.
Yes.
But also we come from cultures where I know with myself that you don't ask a lot of questions.
Mm.
When your mother puts food in front of you and says it's good for you, you will eat.
Yes.
So there is no language of eat sorghum, it's high in antioxidants and low GI and fiber. And that, you know, like we have with the Western way of eat your spinach, your hair will grow.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's
so interesting.
That's part of the issues that we have, but also if some people then, because especially people in their 40s and 50s, they then associate that food with poverty, because when I lived in rural areas, there was no running water, no electricity.
Yes.
We were poor. That's what we ate.
Mm.
And when you come to the cities with modernization, that means pizza with 4 layers and Viennas on the side means I've made it.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, goodness.
So it's complex.
It is complex.
Even if you find restaurants that are putting in indigenous foods, people start, you know, questioning why. Mm. Why are you taking me back? What did I eat?
It's confusing.
It's confusing. Mm. And I have clients who, middle income South Africans who travel, who would come back and say, I went to Paris and I ate chicken feet, or I ate sorghum, or not even sorghum, intestines, the tribe.
Yes.
And they paid, they brag that they paid euros for it.
Goodness.
But when they go back to grandmother in the village, they look at him like, no, I live in Hyde Park, why would you feed me that?
Oh my goodness.
So it's quite education.
Interesting, yeah.
And a lot of more people will say, why is Woolworths selling 4 figs at 60 rands.
Mm.
And I come from Rustenburg.
Yes.
A fig tree, mulberry, pomegranate. Like I went hiking in the morning. So pomegranates, all of these high antioxidants foods grows on trees.
Yes.
And it's free. But we don't understand
the
value until you see somebody selling half a cup of mulberries for 60 rands and they start asking questions. And you explain the value in antioxidants and cancer and diabetes. And they're like, that's why we never got sick when we were younger.
Exactly. And even the seasonal eating.
Yes.
I mean, as when you were growing up in rural areas, if it wasn't on the tree, then it wasn't the season.
Yes.
And so you would eat according to that, which meant that your body got an opportunity to eat a wider range of things.
Nature gives you what you need.
Mm.
In winter, you have citrus fruits.
Exactly.
Because they supply vitamin C. You
have
even the wild. I saw yesterday when I went hiking up this road, you saw those little berries.
Yes.
There's quite a lot of them.
Yes.
Because they're higher in vitamins in terms of the season.
Yes.
You get a lot of butternut and squashes now.
Exactly.
And we want plums and things that are not seasonal in winter from Spain.
Exactly. And they're expensive.
Besides being expensive, yes, in terms of money, but your health, because they pick them while they are raw.
Oh my goodness.
And we always talk about carbon emission that they
plant
in here.
Yes.
But a fruit, nature is beautiful. When a fruit or a plant is not ready to be eaten, the plants will then emit these poisonous substances.
Goodness.
To keep away the insects and the birds and
anything that comes to harm.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that it doesn't taste nice until it's ready to ripe. The more ripe, then all of those are gone, and
wow.
A tree has fruit so that it can give us.
Yes.
So if it's not ready, then it's going to protect so it grows to maturity. So if you pick it before it is ripe, and you ripen it artificially,
yes,
like those ripen at home.
Yes,
you ingesting those foods that genetically we don't have chemicals to digest. That's when people are talking about IBS and maldigestion and constipation. I have diarrhea and I have this and autoimmune diseases, and then I have gut issues, which everything that happens that goes in the gut will go to every organ in the body. So we need to respect
nature. Yeah.
Humans, we tend to think we are superior to other organisms. But if you think about it,
it's an ecosystem.
95% of what you eat is because of bees.
Yes.
Other organisms, other bacteria. If you let them be, you're going to have a lot to eat.
Mm.
If you mess up with things,
then there's a problem. Goodness, so interesting. Now, what do you think of the idea or the concept that food is medicine? You know, you spoke about it, the few elements, and how does that speak to holistic wellness and in turn, integrative medicine?
That's my way of practicing. Not that we hate medicine.
Mm-hmm.
There's a need for medicine. But I learned from Alien when I was still a student that 80% of conditions that we have would be prevented if we ate well.
Mm.
So when my practice, I then pick, that's what we do in functional medicine, pick specific nutrients in food to help them lower the diseases. We always look at eating a rainbow,
yes.
That food that is white, not potatoes, like your fennel, onion, garlic, ginger, will then have chemicals that helps the blood vessels to work very well and lowers cholesterol. It
yes.
protects the heart. If you look at things that are green,
yes.
will give you vitamin A's and
wow.
it will have chlorophyll and it will have the green antioxidants
yes.
to help with the immune system and the eyesight. If you eat, then you design your plate to support all the organs.
Mm.
You see, that's what it is, that
wow.
that targeted, that things like cranberries and mulberries will have heart protective
yes.
Chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we call healthy aging. Not that you're not going to have wrinkles, but your organs
will be looked after.
The organs
it's
are
the
like,
inside.
Yes,
is
yes
the
you're
going to
have good skin.
Yes.
The insides are that the I am. I'm interested in even in with herbal treatments
yes.
that I use umhlonyana
wow.
for flu
yes.
all year round. I never have a cold that bad. It comes, but it's never severe.
Fantastic.
That you learn from older people that
yes.
you use this and this, and they survived. Their diseases were not as severe as what we have here.
Yeah.
But if you can practice colorful, black people talk about seven colors.
Yes.
But do it correctly. Not potatoes and butternut, and, you know.
Yes.
Look at colors of nature.
Yes.
To support your system and daily intake. Like having orange with the peels.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
That's where.
And we've been taught to peel. Peel everything.
When I was a child, we had oranges and you put them under your foot and you rub them.
Yes.
And you get the squeeze, you squeeze the juices out.
Yes.
We ate everything.
Wow.
Because it was soft.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It is so interesting. Wow. Now, what advice, what is your advice on how the ordinary person can begin to make, you know, integrative eating making indigenous food part of their sort of integrated daily diet. And also, you know, some of the things we spoke about the importance of, I think more than anything, a lot of what you said was rang a reminder of reconnecting.
Yes.
Reconnecting to where we come from, reconnecting to how we've always eaten food, understanding the ecosystem and understanding how nature has always worked with us instead of against us.
I think I like the simple way of cooking. I always say that I'm a lazy cook, not that I eat processed food, but the simple thing is everybody has a grandmother.
Mm.
And for those of us who are blessed to still have access to the rural areas, even if it's not your direct grandmother, sit with an older person.
Mm.
For me, that is my re-education.
Mm.
I started going back and say, please tell me about your childhood. Please tell me about what you ate.
Wow.
And a simple things like sorghum with beans and mung beans, which in Setswana is called dikgobe.
Yes.
It's a classic vegan African diet.
Yeah.
It's a complete meal. Everybody's talking about plant-based, but we think in plant-based in in a special supermarket the Western way.
Yes, and we've always had plant-based.
In African culture, a cow is that investment that's going to mature when you're 50 years old. Yes. You don't just slaughter a cow.
No.
So they used a lot of beans. So I would say when I make, let's say, a salad, then I'll throw beans.
Yes.
When for smaller children, I always tell you to mothers, make your mashed potatoes or mashed carrots or butter beans, but add, not butter beans, so mashed potatoes or butternut or sweet potatoes. Mm. Then make it with lentils or with beans and mash it together. When you're making mince, put lentils or put beans. When you're baking, sneaking them there.
Yes.
Because I bake a lot with beans.
Yes.
When, like when you are making spinach, if children are not accustomed to the indigenous leaves, because they're quite bitter.
Yeah.
And in functional medicine, the bitter and the stronger the taste,
that's the higher, good stuff.
That's the good stuff.
Yeah.
So I would do spinach with a traditional morocco mixed together.
Wow.
You see, so then you sneak it in and you introduce them to the taste. Don't just throw away everything that's in the kitchen and say, I am, you know, because everybody's going to be upset with you in the house. So sneak it in.
Yes.
You know, just put a little bit of in and, you know, make a risotto with sorghum.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And try different lentils, traditional lentils, and mix them in. I saw another store that they have all of these beans that you've, the traditional beans that you've never seen, some of them mixed together in one pack. So they're not scary.
Yes.
Because some of them is the butter beans and the kidney beans that like, I know this one. So we'll just cook together. And
yes.
Play around.
Yeah.
We've all made mistakes and try things out. They're not that bad.
Try things out. It's very important. Now, Mbo, you are a co-author of the book Eating.
Mm-hmm.
What was the concept behind the book?
So, Eating. Yeah, we were very scared. We thought people are going to hate us. Eating, it's a health book. But it's also, so I am a dietitian. So, I did the health part about it. So Anna is an anthropologist.
Mm-hmm.
So she came with a sociology and anthropology of it. But we're both greedy people. We love food. We like looking into people's place. It was to say to South Africans that you come from a culture that is rich in nutritional knowledge and stories and beautiful products. Embrace them.
Mm-hmm.
We all want to be healthy. We tend to think that Europe, quinoa and black rice and wild rice is going to solve the issues. Whereas
yes.
Americans own, they think they own sorghum and it's our products. And they all using baobab in London and moringa. It's our products.
Exactly.
Let's just stop being shy. And it's not about painting our traditional ways of eating as you know, all perfect, but
superior,
we say there are
yes.
some. We all had castor oil.
Yes.
We had, you know, but there are beautiful lessons to look at our food and say this is an example of organic food.
Yes,
food. This is an example of we have free range, proper hard body.
Yes,
we had organic farming. We the whole eating nose to tail that everybody is. We ate the whole cow.
We've been doing that.
We've been doing that. So in your pursuit for health, just look at on your doorstep.
Mm.
And you know, it has funny stories, like there are 10 problems of highly successful black people. And it was our client saying, our interview saying, this is my problem.
Yes.
And we went with those problems and we held another focus groups and say, these people have these problems, how do you think you can contribute?
Mm.
So it was us actually telling people stories.
Wow.
And saying, this is the proof, don't struggle.
That's amazing. Yeah. And Paul, what is your philosophy of wellness?
Everything. For me, it's not only food. Mm. I do breath work.
Mm-hmm.
It's about emotional health,
yes.
which is very important. And just being mindful and connection. I'm very much interested in sleep and rest, exercise, everything joins together. If I know if I don't sleep well, it's going to affect the way I exercise. It's going to affect my concentration throughout the day. It's going to affect the way I eat.
Yeah.
So they all join together. That's you important. Don't know which part contributes which percentage. Mm. You just have to try. Yes. It's not perfect every day. It has its own ups and downs. You just have to be mindful that food alone will not solve your issues.
Mm. Is there a sense that holistic wellness is really about connecting within?
Yes.
As much as it is about what's on your plate, what are you, fitness, are you meeting your fitness goals, so to speak, all of that.
It is. And also, I have a lot of clients who come and they tell me what they eat because I give them a pre-questionnaire before they meet and they will send it to me. And I'm like, you're not eating bad. It's the integration that people are struggling with.
Yes.
That issues with sleep, they over-exercising because over-exercising also can be bad. It gets to the point where it's not listening to your body. People are on social media and they see this goals and they go, and it's not what your body needs.
Exactly.
And the amount of rest and also when to eat.
Mm.
Yes. And when to eat what and what. The basic thing is your body will never lie to you. If I take my finger and put it on the stove, it burns.
Mm.
So if something doesn't feel good,
wow,
that's the message. Mm. But we so far removed from ourselves that just sitting down and listening and saying this is not gonna work because the media and social media says it's the other way.
Exactly.
Yeah. So in my work, I actually just get people, I simplify wellness and say this you do here, this you do here, this is how you achieve this. If you know, you do this and this and change a few, shift things around a little bit, and it makes it easier for people.
Fantastic. It sounds amazing. Mpo, thank you so much for joining us on Lishe. And of course, everybody will be able to catch this amazing interview with you on www.lishe.co.za.
Thank you so much for coming to the room.